The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they were without excuse, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto their violent. For even their woman did change the natural use into which is against nature. And likewise also the men, likewise the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant, backbiters, whisperers, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Beloved people, that was the world some 2,000 years ago, as the young Christian church experienced its greatest growth in the then known world. The church grew faster then than it is growing today. That is the world today as well, isn't it? Isn't it? That is the world today. The world hasn't changed, and the church shouldn't change either. Well, the world today, without understanding, we read every day in the papers, and we see every day on our television screens. We hear every day in the conversation on the streets about covenant breakers, about folks without national affection. We live in an implacable, unmerciful, worthy of death society. Not only doing all these things, but taking pleasure in them that do them. Kind of quiet out there. because it's true. The New Testament epistles inform us of the early struggle of the church as it became infiltrated, as the church became infiltrated, if you will, with Satan's crowd, while still trying to establish a Christian witness in the lost and dying world around it. Now, the church at Galatia, one of these early Christian bodies, Paul's letter to Galatia was quite probably written while he was at Ephesus. Galatia had been infiltrated by Judaizers, by the old Hebrew ways of works instead of a faith religion. And all this was being taught by the infiltrators at the church of Galatia. Just as much of this is being taught in the churches of America today. Now, you don't like to hear this, but it's the truth. The church, our Bible colleges, our seminaries have been infiltrated by unbelievers. Paul's letter was quite harsh as he rebuked the backslidden Galatians. Paul's letter also showed clearly, however, his great love and his great concern for this struggling church. Now, rather than me talking about the problem, let's read about it in the book of God. Turn, if you will, to the book of Galatians, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel, listen to his workshop, listen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. This morning, I want to share Paul's closing words to this wonderful Galatian epistle, so full of warnings, so full of instructions, so full of corrections for the backslidden church. Turn to the back of Galatians chapter 6, and I read verses 14 through 18. Last chapter, verses 14 to the close. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
Amen.
Beloved, here we discover three facts that are desperately needed in the Christian church. They were needed 2,000 years ago, and they're also needed in the days in which you and I are living right now. Fact number one, absolutely nothing but Jesus Christ. Fact number two, a new creation. And fact number three, the rule of peace and mercy. Fact number one, absolutely nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ. In the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he must join the church. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he should be baptized. Jesus did not tell Nicodemus that he must become a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal. Here's what Jesus told this Jewish rabbi and religious leader. Nicodemus, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised when I tell you, Nick, that you must be born of the Spirit. If you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to be able to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Now, that's pretty limited, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? Here's what Jesus told him. It has nothing to do with you being a rabbi. It has nothing to do with you joining a church. It has nothing to do with you having eternal life or entering the kingdom of God. Your salvation, your faith in Christ's work on the cross to pay for your sin, and Jesus alone died on that cross for you. Want to hear it? If you don't believe it, you're going to hell. If you believe it, you're going to heaven. If you believe it, you're not going to have eternal life. You have it! I need to be preaching some of the churches today. And say, well, you're an old man, and that's what you guys used to preach back. I didn't change. Message hadn't changed for 2,000 years. Right. The new birth, the spiritual life, starting all over, God's way. Being a little child again. I'm a grown man. You got to become a little kid again. Yeah. You got to start all over. People don't want to do that. People don't want to learn God's way. They want to go their own way. Starting all over, becoming a little child. Absolute faith in the Word of God. The Holy Ghost has come to dwell in you when you're born of the Spirit. It's not about you. It's about God. In the words of Paul to the Galatian church, here's what he said. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Jesus Christ by whom the world is crucified unto me, unto you, if you are a believer. And unto the world that hates Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus. It's not faith plus. It's Jesus only. Fact number two, a new creation. We covered that pretty well. In fact, number one, but you see how this all blends together in the Christian faith. A new creation. Not only is the individual Christian a new creation, but the church, the true church, is a new creation also. Excuse me. I want to read 1 Corinthians to you, from 1 Corinthians, excuse me, something that I think is important. I begin my reading with verse 13 in chapter 12. 12, beginning with verse 13. I want you to think about these simple words. Think about these simple words. Think about this little church here on the corner. Think about the number of churches in America. Think about the number of Jews around the world. And think what could happen if we really believe these things. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That means the black Christians in Africa and the yellow Christians in China. That means the folks in India and the folks in Mexico that are trusting Jesus Christ for their Savior. They are part of the church. By one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is that they are not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, what were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. You know what? A little child can understand that. understand that. Of course, the ear doesn't see. Of course, the eye doesn't hear. And if we're all one member, why were the body? And now are they many members, but one body? The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Did you know that your big toe helps you balance yourself? The big toe. That's important. God knew what he was doing, didn't he? For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Now, think about the church. That's the body. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, listen, church. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I believe if the church in America took hold of these truths, the real church, all of this foolishness that's going on in our country today would disappear.
That's right.
And there's a lot of foolishness going on.
Amen. That is right. Amen.
The true Christian church, be it 2,000 some years ago in Galatia, Ephesus or Rome, or be it in the days of the Great Reformation, or the days of the Puritans in the New World, the church is the living body of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Creator of the universe and the Redeemer of his chosen people. Church membership and baptism are ordinances that only born-again Christians can rightfully partake of. But they save no one. They are the only two ordinances Jesus Christ gave directly to his church. Baptism, my friends, is our witness to others that we have died and been born again. Raised, if you will, up from the grave of sin and death to new life as part of the living body of Jesus Christ. They don't save you. They witness for your salvation and trust in Jesus. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is a memorial feast to be observed by us until Jesus comes again to gather his church unto himself. God doesn't save us. It's a memorial supper to the one who died for us. So, fact number one, Jesus Christ alone. Fact number two, a new creation. And the final fact number three, a rule of peace and mercy. We had an important meeting last Wednesday night at Barnes Creek Baptist Church. Some big things we're talking about, some exciting things, some expensive things, looking toward the future, so forth and so on. It was a wonderful meeting. Everybody's ideas came out, prayer was made, We're now going through the idea of personally praying about the direction God wants us to go. It was wonderful to sit in a business meeting about such important things and have that calm, peace, the family gathering to decide its future. I've been in a lot of church business meetings. A lot of them don't go that way. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? You know what? When you join the church, leave your ego behind. Amen?
Amen?
The Church of Jesus Christ is the only place in this poor, lost, and dying world where you can find real peace and mercy. This, of course, is why the Judaizers infiltrated the early churches. This is why unbelievers with Satan's crowd and all the rest, the atheists and the homophobes and neo-theologians of today, are infiltrating today's churches. Satan's going to do everything he can to mess the church up. Satan hates the church. You want to join the church? Believe what's going to happen when you join. I'm not going to paint a pretty picture. Satan's going to hate you. The Bible tells you. How many people come and say, I want to join the church. I know that Satan's going to hate me, but I want to join anyway. Praise God. Praise God. Because that's how it is. But you will have the most wonderful life you have ever lived when you join the real, living body of Jesus Christ. And I speak, how many years, Aaron? I don't know, 50-some. I was 28 when I was saved. I'm 84 today. But I guarantee you. Thank you. Okay. This, of course, is why they, as I said, they come slithering in. And they will. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. We are singularly blessed in this little church on the corner to enjoy the peace and mercy God has allowed us to enjoy lately. Outside is the world. Amen? That's why they call this sanctuary. This is where, you know what, the sanctuary was in the Old Testament. That's where the sinners went. that was the place where the sinners went to get away from the law. Place of safety. That's why we meet Wednesday nights for prayer. That's why we have Bible classes here. That's the old-fashioned way of preaching. Oh, and we eat. We like to eat. Outside there is the world. Read about it. It's just like it was in the book of Romans, written about the church 2,000 years ago. It's no different. People don't change until God changes them. Anyway, you can read about all that stuff in your daily newspaper. Let's do it on the radio and TV and say, well, that's not really what the preacher was talking about this morning. It's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. I believe there could be a great revival in the United States of America if the church would get out of the pews and into the streets. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Let us thank our Heavenly Father today that we are truly the body of Christ and members in particular. Three facts then that are needed. Jesus alone, new creation, being under the rule of peace and mercy. Never forget, as the Galatian church did, never forget Paul's opening words to that church says it all. Those words need to be heard today, just as they needed to be heard 2,000 years ago.